everybody. This is episode 386 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and today I will be talking about some more anime. This time will be the last time, for real, at least when it comes to my summer anime preview. I've got four more series to talk about, and I will be doing so shortly, but I also have some games to talk about, a little bit more Horizon, and then a little bit of The Golf Club 2, which I am actually writing a review for, a different kind of review, a review that many people may not like the way it's structured and everything, but I wanted to try something a little bit different, because I think the typical bullet point type of review where it's like, okay, I'm going to tackle the story in this paragraph, and then I'm going to tackle the audio in this one, and the graphics in this one, the gameplay in this one, etc. Which, you know, not every site does that, and some of them, you know, they elaborate on that system, that format, but I think still many reviews rely on that, and I think it's because probably most people want that information, but I think it's much, especially with how prevalent Twitch is and just checking out videos on YouTube and getting the details from the site themselves or whatever. I think a review is better when it's just the reviewer's experience with the game. Well, however that may be, you know, they don't need to cover every little detail of it, because if those things don't really stand out, if the audio wasn't great, wasn't awful, was just fine, what is there that needs to be said? Do they need to say the audio was fine? And I think I may have even said something like that in the review, but I think reviews should be about the reviewer's personal experience with it and not just a breakdown of the game from, you know, a mechanical and technical standpoint, because I don't care about that. I don't care if this game, you know, it's got a really great polygonal count or whatever, or the audio is really, like, sure, that stuff's important, but if a game is good, it doesn't need to. I don't know exactly if I'm explaining myself well enough, because, you know, words are hard, especially when you're dyslexic and not just when it comes to writing and reading. Anyway, that'll be coming out hopefully tomorrow. If not Saturday, then Sunday. But moving on to the anime I want to talk about. And I've got four series, like I said, to go over. Those four would be Welcome to the Ballroom, a.k.a. Ballroom E Yokoso, Gamers, In Another World with My Smartphone, a.k.a. Sekai wa Smartphone to Tomo ni, and Princess Principal. So the first one I want to talk about, and I'm actually going to be doing these in the order that I just said them, so the first one I'm going to talk about is the first one I said. So, no surprise. It is Welcome to the Ballroom, which is streaming on Anime Strike, which is Amazon's streaming service that you have to pay extra for in addition to your Prime membership, which is annoying, but I'm a sucker. And I like anime and supporting the industry, as stupid as it may be at times. But this series, I only watched the first episode, and it's about this young boy, Tatara, who is unsure of what to do with his life. He's about to graduate from junior high, and he doesn't know exactly what he wants to do with his life, so he hasn't completed his career paper or whatever. And he is walking down the street, gets pulled into this sort of alleyway by some bullies, and he gets saved, essentially, even though he didn't have anything to give these bullies. They wanted his money's wallet was empty, by this tall man in a motorcycle helmet. He was riding a motorcycle, obviously. And this tall man ended up being the teacher and a professional dancer at this new ballroom dancing school thing. And so he goes in there. They give him like this free lesson because they're trying to get people to join and pay for future lessons. And he runs into a girl from school he met when, well, he didn't meet her, but they caught each other's eyes in the office when he was, you know, being somewhat scolded for not having picked a career path yet. They dance and she's like, "Oh, what are you here? Are you here just for kicks? Are you a perv or whatever?" And then he sees a video of the professional dancer, Kaname, at an event, via DVD. I'm doing a horrible job with this. Whatever. I'm gonna just talk about what I liked about the show. I love the show because, one, it is gorgeous. It is a very, very, very pretty series. It's from Production IG, which is a pretty good studio. They've done a lot of good things. I think probably one of their high points animation-wise would be Fooly Cooly, which is an incredibly well-animated show. I am someone who doesn't like it because I didn't care for the story and the substance of it. But Ballroom is great because, one, like I said, the visuals are fantastic. I like the aesthetic of it. The characters all have very long necks and are sort of elongated in general. And some people are turned off by that, but I like necks in general in real life and in animation. So it's an aesthetic that is very pleasing for me. And there's a somewhat sketchiness to the style as well. Not thick lines or solid lines. There's a bit of a, you know, sketchiness to it. And I really like that as well. So it's a beautiful series to watch. And the animation is really great as well. But I also really like the characters. I like where the story is going. He's decided that he really wants to go with dance, even sort of unknowing to himself. It's kind of something that his inner self is striving for, because he's blurting out, "Yes, I want to dance. I want to learn how to dance," in the very beginning. And he's like, why did I just say that? And he's going to be working his way through the dance school. But I love it so far, and it's my pick for anime of the season right off the bat, just because it is beautiful. I like all of the characters so far. I'm really interested in seeing where the story goes and seeing the characters grow. And yeah, it hits all those points for me that I really like. And yeah, I'm just excited to watch more of it. It sucks that it's on Anime Strike, because that is not one of the leading platforms for streaming anime, but what are you going to do? There's something else I wanted to point out about it. But yeah, I feel like there's a chance it could be the Yuri on Ice of not just the season, but of the year. Just in terms of it highlighting a sport that is not often highlighted in series in general and can be looked at as more feminine, but it's not going to have any gay romance parts to it, unless there might be something on the side, but there's clear hetero romance between the two junior high students. But I just get a feeling like it might be the surprise that Yuri was for this season. But yeah, I highly recommend checking that out, despite my really just sort of confused, stammering, bumbling preview of it. Let's just move on. Gamers is about gamers and a new club at this school, who have a passion for gaming, but it's not just people who like gaming. They have to be competitive at it and, you know, compete in competitions and make money that pay for all of the gaming equipment and everything. And you have this shy, somewhat of a loner kid who really loves gaming and dating sims and all that kind of jazz, Keita. And he is talked to by the cutest girl in the school, Karin, who is like, hey, I've had my eye on you. You're exactly what I need. And for at first, he feels special, but then, you know, she's recruited a few other people. There are already a few other people in the club. And he's taken to the club, and he realizes how serious they all are and how good they are and how they're really into it for the competitive nature of it all. And he decides not to go into it, even though he doesn't really have any friends. And this was his chance to be around people who are like-minded. He chooses not to, and even chooses not to when Karin once again confronts him at the end of one of the days of the following school day, at the end of the episode. And then she runs off after he rejects her and instead goes with his, I don't like his video game girlfriend. I don't know. It's okay. It's nothing particularly special. One of the things that was annoying me about, and I don't know if it continues with this because I just watched the first episode, like I said, it did a lot of things where it would give you some information about a character. And then it would say, in the future, this person's going to fail real hard, you know, question mark, when's it going to happen? In the future, these two characters are going to meet a lot in private, question mark, what's going to happen? And if it keeps telling us what is going to happen down the road, it's going to lose a lot of the weight of those. Like, those moments are going to mean nothing because we already know they're coming. And while it's kind of amusing at first to just get these bits of information, it's like, hey, this person thinks they're so great, but really, they're going to get theirs, you know, in the future, in the near future. I'm like, ha, that's funny. Oh, wait. So when that happens, I'm not going to be all that surprised because I already know it's going to happen. And it's not going to be like, oh, wow, I had no idea that was coming. And it feels so good. Oh, no, I knew that was coming because you told me. So I don't really like that. But it's okay. I just smacked the mic. I need to see some more of it because I don't quite know what to make of it. It just feels like it's going to be a very stereotypical show. Revolving around gamers, you'll have your romances, your school bits, probably some triangles, whatever. And then, of course, I watched, because how could I not watch a show called In Another World with my smartphone? But I watched it, and it reminds me most of all of ReZero. Though it has more comedic sides to it. You know, it can be serious at times, but it's more of a humorous show. And that is leading some people to, more people, it seems to be, comparing it to Konosuba. But I don't really see that because, one, your main character in Konosuba was a complete and utter, like, klutz, and just, he wasn't a strong character. He wasn't powerful, and he wasn't really great at adventuring. That goes for everyone on that show. Whereas in Another World with my smartphone, your main character, Toya, is incredibly powerful and very adept to learning new abilities and skills. And just to give a little bit of the story, all you really need to know is this kid, Toya, he was killed. He's 15 years old, I believe, when God just like was randomly thrown down lightning or whatever and accidentally hit him and killed him. And to make up for it, he said he could resurrect him, of course, in a different world, not his own. And he could you know, asks for one thing, and he has to take a smartphone with him because, you know, kids these days, they just can't be away from their smartphones for too long. And God says, yeah, sure, if that's what you want, okay, fine. You won't be able, and he asks if he'll be able to call people from his world. No, but he will be able to see all their tweets and, you know, check the internet and do all those types of things. He just won't be able to interact with anyone from the other world, from his world, which to me is so depressing when you really think about it, because you're going to be able to see what's happening in the lives of everyone you care about, but you will in no way be able to interact with them yourself or talk with them. That is the same thing. Or do anything other than just see these people live out their lives via, you know, social networks, and you'll just never be a part of it. So that's kind of depressing. Though he also uses it to like find recipes for foods and other stuff. So I can see the benefit from that standpoint. And I guess given where he is, that God has just made it so his smartphone always has perfect service and the fastest internet speed. So that would be nice. And he can charge it with magic, because of course there's magic in this new world. And he's been also granted increased abilities on all fronts. So he's very adept at magic. He can do any kind of magic, which is incredibly rare in this world. But it seems okay. It can be mildly amusing at times, and so far I don't mind the characters, but it really does remind me a lot of ReZero. But I would say I like him more than ReZero at this point, because I just couldn't not stand Subaru, and I've talked about how many things I've found to be problematic with ReZero in the past. I don't need to reiterate all that, but it is kind of weird how much it feels like it, because you have your main character who's coming from another world, and he died young, and he died in a weird way, and he gets resurrected, sent to another world. And then you have these two twin sisters who are both powerful in their own ways and kind of complement each other. Then you have your samurai, and it's kind of weird. I think there's also, like, I don't know if it was a cat or a teddy bear thing that was in some of the previews. I watched the first two episodes, and that thing hasn't shown up yet, but it's in the OP, I believe. So that could even be like the little cat thing from ReZero. But it's fine. The one thing that really bugs me is the way it's structured, the episodes, in that there are a lot of breaks in them that just for a few seconds cut to a still image of the characters in a chibi form, and that really, really annoys me, because it breaks the fluidity of the episodes, and it makes it feel more like you're watching, even though the storyline and everything is linear and it never jumps around too much. It just feels like it's a bunch of short episodes strung together simply because they decided to break it up with these constant still images that serve no real purpose. They're not funny. They're not anything at all. And they're clearly not meant to mask commercial breaks or anything, because they're so frequent, especially in the first episode. But I'm hoping that stops after a certain point, because it's a bit much. And then last but not least is Princess Principal, which is set in the 19th century in London, and it's a world very similar to our own, except there is magic, because of course there is, and all these abilities, and it seems to be going to revolve around this group of young girls who are high school students and all spies for I don't know what network, but everyone's lying in the series. I watched the first episode, and everyone's lying all the time, even to each other. Friends lie to each other, and it's just full of plot twists And it's surprisingly violent. I wasn't expecting that. And I kind of liked it. I really liked the way it looked. I'm not a huge fan of steampunk. I don't have anything against it, but it doesn't particularly do anything for me. But it worked in the series, especially given the time period. And it all looked really good. But what had me intrigued and has me wanting to watch more is just how crazy the story was getting with all these various plot twists and turns and everything. Because though I think if it doesn't tighten up a bit, it's going to get incredibly exhausting and confusing, because literally everyone's just lying all the time. They talk about lying and they lie in addition to talking about it, and everyone's killing each other. Well, they're not killing each other. There's just a select few killing everyone else. But yeah, it was darker than I was expecting. And I really like that. I also like the fact that it's an original series, so it's not based on anything, meaning everyone will be going into it fresh and doesn't have any kind of expectations based on source material. And it's always nice to have those in a season. But so far, I'm interested in watching more. That is also on my strike, whereas Gamers and the Smartphone one are both on Crunchyroll. And probably the Crunchyroll ones are all on Funimation, I assume, dubbed, because I think that's the way their thing works now, is that they have the exact same catalog. Maybe they have some exclusives, I'm not sure, but for the most part, I think they share everything, and just one does dub, one does sub. Anyway, moving on to games and whatnot. Horizon Zero Dawn, very briefly. I'm getting close to the end, and I'm kind of just getting tired of it and want to finish it, so I'm going to hopefully finish it later today. I think now Ratchet & Clank stays on top for my favorite PS4 game, because the main missions have changed a bit and are their own thing now. But instead of changing for the better, they kind of have changed for the worse, because so many of them are now just revolving around going to an old lab and then being bombarded with information and log files and holographic things. And just, it's so much exposition and story, and it's not all that fun. And there's not much to them other than just being forced to follow this linear path where you climb up a bunch of things that are designated climbing points to reach a point where you watch a holographic bit of story, and then you move on to another area and you watch more story, or you listen to some, and then you talk to someone and you get some more story, and maybe there's some action here and there, but it's not all that great or exciting or visually, you know, interesting. So it's stalling a little bit here, but maybe it'll end very, very strongly. But I think no matter what happens at this point, Ratchet & Clank will remain on top for my favorite PS4 game. And then I've been playing a bit of the Golf Club 2, and all I'll really say about it is that it is more of the Golf Club, which is good if you really like the Golf Club and bad for everyone else. And what I would say is the big problem about that is that the Golf Club had a lot of potential, but what it lacked was accessibility, in that it was not, there were no kind of easy options for casual players. So if you didn't want to learn the system and the subtlety of it all, you were screwed, because especially with putting, it is incredibly unforgiving, and you have to literally learn how far back pulling your club, your putter, how much distance that equals. Because no matter what, you will always, like, your power with the putter is always the same. So you have to learn. It's not like you can pick a point on the green and just say, okay, that's where I want to hit this ball, and I will pull fully back and then hit it, and then that's where, how far it will go. You just have to learn the system. And I think the putting green, the lines that tell you the direction that the slope is. So if the lie is heading towards the left or the right, or it's downhill or uphill, I don't think that is super accurate, or it's just not super clear in terms of how far you have to hit the ball in a particular direction, or how much more you have to hit it in order to make up for an uphill path or whatever. It does look a lot better on Xbox One, is where I'm playing. I got a code for it. I think the PC version of the first game looked pretty good from what I've heard, so it might not be as much of a visual upgrade on PC, but on console, Xbox One at least, the upgrade is significant because the texture quality was pretty awful in the first game, and now it looks a lot better. It does play a bit better overall. The course designer is nice and robust and pretty easy to use once you just get your fingers wet in it. And, the menu system, all that is fine. It's just, it's frustrating, and this is what my review revolves around a lot, is that my dad is a huge golf fanatic. He is an avid golfer, golfs 2 times every week, sometimes more, loves golf games, but he can't play the golf club too because it's just too hard for him, and he's not the kind of person who's going to learn how to play a game and like put a lot of hours in it to get good when those hours are going to be filled with a lot of frustration. He's not going to do that. That's just not the kind of person he is. And so not having any kind of help in the game, in terms of handicaps of some sort, really holds the game back, and I think just leaves it for the hardest of the hardcore golf fans, which I don't know how many of those people actually exist when it comes to people who really, really, really like playing golf games and want a simulation experience and not more of an arcade experience. Because when you look at something like the Forza series, you can make that as difficult as you want, but then there are a lot of sliders that things you can turn on or off that can make the game significantly more easier. Or you take the recent release of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, where you can turn on these assists that will make it a lot easier for somebody who's not a huge gamer to feel like they're actually doing a good job and not awful, and can actually compete with other people who are, more experienced or whatever. And not having those options, I think, really kills the experience. Because that is the thing that I thought the first game was most lacking. Visual upgrades, sound upgrades, audio upgrades, all that, that's fine. That's something that is expected, but not having that change to make it more of an inviting experience, I think, is a really, it's just a missed opportunity. But yeah, I'll be putting up that review in a day or two. Anyway, I'm not happy with this episode. I feel like I went into it wanting to accomplish a lot, and I just kind of, my mind is just burnt out or something for some reason. I don't know. It's been a busy week, and I've watched some 4-hour movies. Maybe those have burnt me out, like Lawrence of Arabia and Dances with Wolves, Director's Cut, so many things. I think I watched this a while ago at this point, but I finally rewatched Blade Runner, the final cut, and I really liked it. I remember watching it years ago and not liking it, and I have no idea which version I watched, because I know there's a theatrical cut, there's a director's cut, there's some other kind of cut, I think. I don't know if it's a bootleg cut or whatever the hell it's called, and then there's a final cut, which is the definitive cut that everyone says, that's the only one to watch. And I really, really liked the final cut. I was like, oh, this is just really solid noir. And I like this. And visually, it's incredible, which I think was always the case. But like, I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, that was a pleasant surprise. And now I just kind of wonder which version I watched. I also watched the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven and really liked that. And now I kind of want to watch the theatrical cut to see how different they are, because that might be, I feel like it might be the biggest change in terms of opinion for a movie compared to a theatrical cut, because a lot of people did not like theatrical cut, but I know there are a lot of people out there who look at the director's cut and think it's one of, I think it's Ridley Scott or whatever, but one of whoever the director is, their best movies, and also just people who think it's one of the best movies ever made, that specific cut. And to have opinions differ so greatly is really crazy. And I want to watch them both side by side to see how different they really are and how this great movie could have been butchered in the editing room in such a dramatic way. And then one last movie I'll talk about quickly. I finally watched 2001: A Space Odyssey, and I think there's like an amazing 2-hour movie in there if you just cut out some things. One, first and foremost, it's one of the most beautifully shot movies I've ever seen. Maybe the most beautiful. The visuals are just incredible. The audio, the score is fantastic as well. It's one of the, like, it's just from a cinematography and audio standpoint, it's fan freaking tastic. I think a lot of the time when people are talking, it's not so great, especially in the beginning. But the movie I think that would be great if you took it out of the, like, I think it's like 3-hour movie that it is, would be get rid of all the narrative bits, the people talking, whatever. I don't know where they were, but all the things that aren't on the space station with the two astronauts, get rid of all that. And then everything after the one astronaut, I forget which one he was. It's not Frank. It's the other one. When he removes Hal's memory, all his memory bits, end the movie there. That's it. All the stuff after that, with like the life, and then you have the giant baby in the galaxy or whatever, that 20 or so minutes, throw that away. So that it's just the bits on the space station and the visual stuff from the beginning. And that's that. You don't even need the early stuff with the effing monkeys. That's just kind of stupid. But yeah. I'm just going to end this. That was a weird episode. I'm your host anyway, whatever. Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal podcast, as well as the art I do, which, if you'd like to see it all in one place, go over to pxsart.com, and you'll also see links to where you can purchase prints for each and every piece of art that tickles your fancy. And if you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. Okay. I hope everyone's had a wonderful week so far and that they have a lovely, lovely weekend. Bye.